Good evening. What a blessing again to gather in the house of the Lord here together with fellow believers. I think we take that for granted so often. We have it and we don't really know what we have until it's gone, so they say. A quick thought before we read the scripture that Brian would have for us tonight. In our Sunday school lesson this morning in Romans, a verse that stuck out to me, and I shared this with a class. I'm going to share it with you this evening here. In chapter 1, verse 8 there, it says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." As I thought about that a little bit, you know, thinking of God and our prayers to him, none of us can get to God on our own merits. There's nothing we can do on our own merits that we can get to God. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can even reach God. What a blessing Jesus Christ is that we can have access to the Father through prayer. Brian has asked that we read from Luke chapter 12. We've heard it said before when we open, we're thinking about Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. Are we looking for him this morning? Are we looking for Jesus Christ to come again? The scripture this evening that we're going to read talks about that. Talks about servants that are watching for their Lord to come. Luke chapter 12, verse 35 to 48. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48. "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall girt himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them, so blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house hath known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not." Then Peter said unto him, "Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all?" And the Lord said, "Whom then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will point him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more." With these words on our hearts, let's kneel for a word of prayer.
Good evening. I greet each one of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight we continue in our study of Luke. And the title this evening is Distracted Living. Distracted Living. There's a fact that I trust each of us can agree on tonight, and that's our Lord is coming again. We all agree on that. It's certain. It's sure. But what that day is, when that day is, we don't know. Yes, Scripture tells us we have signs that we can see. Yes, Scripture says we have seasons that we can see. But the day and the hour, we don't know. In fact, no man knows. We just don't know when Jesus is coming again. It may be next week. Maybe next month, it may be next year. But Scripture tells us over and over again that we're to be ready. We're to live like it's today. To live like Jesus is coming again this very night. And yet the days go by and the weeks go by and the decades and the centuries go by and Jesus doesn't come. And we have a tendency to let our guard down. We have a tendency to relax, to busy ourselves with the affairs of the world instead of the affairs of our Master. There's a great danger in this. There's a great danger in losing focus of the nearness and the readiness for our Lord's coming. There's danger in living a distracted life. And before us tonight is a parable that describes two servants. One faithful, he's ready, prepared, waiting and watching, busy about his master's business. And the other unfaithful, living a distracted life. His master's return seems so far away. He knows what he should be doing. He knows the master's will, but he's distracted. Looks to his own interests instead of the master's. Two very different servants, two very different lifestyles, and two very different end results. Every believer today is in one camp or the other. Every believer is either living a faithful life, awaiting the Lord's return, or every believer is busy about their own interests. The faithful believer is busy. He realizes the time's short. He's busy about his master's business. He's busy being an ambassador to his king. He's busy being a servant to his Lord. He's busy being a sheep and following the shepherd. He's busy being a workman, a laborer for his master. He's going about his master's business. He's glorifying God. He's building up his fellow believers. He's telling other peoples about Jesus Christ. He's busy. And these are what a faithful servant is busy doing. Day in and day out, week in and week out, year after year, expecting his Lord's return could be at any minute. Is that how you're living your life tonight? Are you expecting the Lord's coming? Are you living like it's tonight? Are you busy about your master's business? Or perhaps a better description of your life is that of an unfaithful servant, living a distracted life, living with little or no concern that your Lord's coming soon. Busy about business. Busy doing your own will. Which type of servant are you tonight? Follow along as we look here at four attributes of a faithful servant living for his master's return. Verse 35 of Luke chapter 12. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. A faithful servant has his loins girded. You're all familiar with this term from other passages of Scripture. You picture the Roman soldier with his long robe picked up, tied around his waist with a belt, ready for battle, ready for work, legs and feet unencumbered by that long robe. He's ready. The faithful servant is ready, prepared. Are you? It's time, the time of year when the visiting brethren call on your home and they ask you that exact question. Are you ready? Are you willing to labor for an increase of holiness in yourself and others? That's what it means. Are your loins girded up? Are you ready to labor for the Master? Are you prepared? Oh, faithful servant tonight, are you ready to do your Master's will? Secondly, we find a faithful servant has his lamps burning. Again, this is a picture of readiness. The lamps are full of oil. The wicks are trimmed. You're prepared. But I think this goes a step further. Being ready and willing is not enough. But are your lamps burning? Are you doing something? Are you busy about your master's business? Matthew 7:21 says, it's not enough to say, Lord, Lord, but to do the will of the Father. John 6:38, Jesus says, I came to do my Father's will. Matthew 12:50 says, you're my brothers and sisters. If you do the will of my Father, are you doing? Are your lamps burning? Are you busy about the Father's work? Are you striving to do your Father's will? Are you burning lights? Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. A faithful servant has his lamp burning. A faithful servant is busy working for the master, busy glorifying God in his daily life, busy doing the will of his Father. Oh, faithful servant tonight, are you busy about the Lord's work? Are you busy doing your master's will? Verse 36, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. In this I see the third trait of a faithful servant is anticipation, waiting for the Lord's return. In love and loyalty to the master, the faithful servant anxiously awaits his return. It's with a homesickness, with a longing to spend time with the master. The faithful servant sits on the edge of the seat, thinking it might be today. The faithful servant anxiously awaits the master's return. He just can't wait to spend time with the master. He can't wait to see him. He can't wait to be in his presence. He can't wait to have communion and see him face to face. And when the knock comes at the door, he's ready to spring to answer it. Does that describe you tonight? Do you have an anticipation? Are you looking forward with eagerness for your Lord's return? The faithful servant is anxiously awaiting the master's return. Does that describe you? The fourth attribute I find of a faithful servant is in verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Watching. A faithful servant is watching. Faithful servant is looking for the signs. Looking down the road as far as you can see for a sign of your master's coming. Perhaps one of the most beautiful descriptions of watching is found in the parable of the prodigal son. Do you remember how the faithful father is described in Luke 15:20? And he arose and came to his father, speaking of the prodigal son. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's the way we should be watching. Watching a great way off, anxious for our Lord's return. Do you feel that way about the Lord's coming today? Are you watching as far down the road as you can see You want to be the first one. A faithful servant is watching. When he wakes up in the morning, he looks down the road and wonders, is the Lord coming today? Faithful servant, while he's eating his lunch, looking down the road, wondering, is my Lord coming today? The faithful servant at bedtime watches, thinking maybe it's tonight. Oh, faithful servant, tonight, are you watching for the signs of his coming that you might run to greet him? You see, Jesus describes the faithful servant as one that is ready, with loins girded, one who is working, doing his master's will with his lamp burning, one who is anticipating, he can't wait for the Lord's return, and one who is watching, eyes on the horizon, eager for his Lord's return. Does that describe you tonight? Are you ready for your master's return? Will he find you faithful? Whether he comes today or tomorrow, whether he comes a day or night, whether he comes in the second or the third watch, in the darkest, the latest hours of night, will he find you faithful, ready and watching? Reading from verse 37 through 40. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Do you see in those verses the blessing that comes to the faithful servant? The faithful servant will experience blessings beyond measure, blessings beyond compare, fellowship and communion with his master, rich rewards by the master. It says here the master will actually serve the servants. What a great reward for faithfulness that the faithful servant gets to experience. After Jesus told this parable, Peter said to Jesus, "Are you just talking to us? Are you just talking to us disciples? Or does what you're talking about, does it include everyone? Is it just for us disciples? Is it just for the leaders? Is it just for our inner circle that you're telling us this?" And Jesus says, "No, I'm speaking about all faithful people, all wise servants, everyone who is ready, everyone who is working, everyone who is anticipating and watching for my return." Verse 41. And Peter said unto him, "Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has." The faithful servant's rewards are great. Gets to experience a blessing for his faithfulness upon the Lord's return. But in verse 45, there's the word but. But it means beware. It means take heed, but be careful. Just as some of my servants are faithful, there are some that are foolish. There are some who have been distracted. There are some that have lost focus. They've lost interest. The master's return seems to never happen. And they lose interest. They lose interest in doing the master's business. And they go about their own. They live their own life. They strive to fulfill their own desires and their own will. Verse 45. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken. In my job, I do a lot of driving, and every year we're required to have driver safety course. One of the dangers that's always discussed in that course is the danger of distracted driving. You're warned to be careful. You're warned about how dangerous it is to drive under the influence of drugs. You're warned about driving while you're sleepy. You're warned about eating and drinking when you're driving. You're warned about talking on the telephone. You're warned about being distracted by other people in your vehicle. You see, driving with a distraction can be deadly. It can kill you. It can kill others. But I tell you, just as deadly for the Christian is living distracted. Distracted living can be deadly for the Christian. Look at verse 46. And the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. That's serious stuff. That's what distracted living, if it continues in your life, will end up as. Will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. You see how distracted, how deadly distracted living can be. It's sobering, it's serious. If you're found not ready, not faithful when the Lord returns. I'd like to look at a few ways we can be distracted. A few things that distract us from being faithfully awaiting our Lord's return. The first danger of distracted living is drowsiness or sleepy. It's a deadly condition when you're driving. You can't will yourself awake. I've tried it many times. I turn the radio up loud. I roll the windows down, but still you're sleepy. It's dangerous, but it's just as deadly to try to live a Christian life sleepy and drowsy. To just go along with life, half awake, half asleep. Romans 13, verse 11, warns us of that. And that knowing that time is now, and that knowing the time, it is now, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Get awake, it says. Stop living a sleepy, a drowsy life. Clear your minds. Get rid of the fog that comes with sleep. Do whatever it takes. If you have to get rest, get rest. If you have to get out of the car, get out of the car and run around. Do whatever it takes, but get awake. Get awake. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Get it fixed in your mind. Let it wake you up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Don't be caught asleep. Don't be caught drowsy. It's a danger to live a distracted, sleepy, half-awake Christian life. The second danger that I thought of that leads to distractive living is eating and drinking. Eating and drinking. Desiring to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's warned about here in verse 45. This servant said, and he began to eat and drink and be drunken. Desires of the flesh. The desire for pleasure. We all deal with it in our lives, don't we? The pleasures of life, eating and drinking, sexual desires, the desire to accumulate things, collections, wealth, our hobbies, hunting, fishing, camping, recreation, games, and sporting events. Even our family, even the pleasure of family at times can be a distraction. You see, some of these things are not bad. They're not bad at all. And while good in moderation, they have the potential to steal our heart. They have the potential to distract us, to keep us busy, that we lose our focus on the Lord's return. It's no accident that this parable comes right after what Brother Jeff talked about last week. Verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Each of us needs to question even the good things in our lives. Are they replacing God? Are they distracting us from the service of our King and our Master? Are we so busy fulfilling the lusts of our flesh, making ourselves happy, that we're ignoring the will of our Father? It's a hard question to ask yourself. It's a hard question for me. Do our hobbies, our vacations, our jobs, maybe, keep us away from prayer meeting? Keep us away from Sunday evening services? Is anything more important than to you than to be about the Lord's business? Doing the will of the Father. Do you delight in anything more than you delight in your Lord and Savior? Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. If the desires of your heart is seeking pleasure, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll change the desires of your heart. You'll desire Him more. The more time you spend delighting yourself in the Lord, the more time you'll want to spend delighting yourself in the Lord. Are you delighting yourself in the Lord, or are you striving to fulfill the lusts of the flesh? It's deadly. It's a deadly distraction. Luke 12, verse 16. This was also in last week's lesson. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It's desiring the flesh. Lusts of the flesh, to have stuff and find your comfort and your well-being in things of the earth. Verse 19, and I will say, verse 20. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Distraction number three, distraction in living, is looking at the world's attractions. You know, if it's one thing that gripes me while I'm driving down the highway, if I see the person in the car ahead of me, his head's looking out to the right, and then it's looking to the left, and everywhere but straight ahead. We used to call that years ago Sunday drivers. You would take a drive just to look around. And while it's okay maybe on back roads, it's a deadly habit on the highway doing 65 miles an hour. It's deadly to be looking at distractions all around you. You see, things happen so quickly on the road, in the blinking of an eye, in a split second, accidents happen. What attractions are calling to you, distracting you, that causing you to turn your head? Scripture calls these the lusts of the eyes. You see, we see something, it turns our head, and then we desire to possess it. It starts in turning and looking. It's called covetousness, to desire what you don't have. And it's a danger in living the Christian life, whether you desire a new vehicle, a new tractor, a new kitchen, beautiful women, handsome men. It's a great danger in allowing our attractions, our eyes to be attracted. What's the great example of that in Scripture? You all know it well. It's the account of David and Bathsheba. 2 Samuel 11, verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. See, it attracted his eyes. It got him off focus. It distracted him. And it was an attraction for David that was deadly. What attractions are you looking at as you travel through life that are getting your eyes off your Savior? The fourth danger in distracted living is losing our focus, letting our mind wander. Have you ever missed an exit while you were driving? Your mind was on something else and you missed your turn. You missed your exit. You got off track because your mind was somewhere else. I do it a lot, more than I should. I get my mind on something and then the exit goes by. Letting your minds wander can be very deadly while you're driving, but so much more being distracted as a Christian in your life, losing focus. Brothers and sisters, we need to stay focused on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. You cannot go off course if your eyes are focused on Jesus Christ. We need to read our Bibles more. The Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You'll never lose your way if you're spending time studying the Bible. Have you lost focus in your daily living? And your mind is pulled in two different directions. I don't know whether to tell you this story, but I'm going to. You'll think it's not true, but it is. I was coming home one day from work. I was taking the turnpike. I was coming from Ephrata home on the turnpike. I usually get off at the Route 15 exit and come down and go home. I don't know where my mind was that day. And I don't know what happened. What I was thinking about, I don't remember. But when I came to, I was still on the turnpike, but I was almost to the Shippensburg exit. I had driven through all that mess in Carlisle. It's amazing to me how the brain keeps working while your mind is elsewhere. But it's easy to do. I don't know. I'd have to believe I wasn't a safe driver if I didn't even know where I was. It's the same with life. We need to be alert. We need to be focused. Our focus needs to be on Jesus Christ. We daren't let our minds wander. The fifth danger in a distractive living I have down, playing with the knobs of the vehicle. Technology. As we drive along the road, you can tell very often someone that's playing on their phone. Either they're going very slowly because they don't want to run off the road, or else they're going side by side trying to keep it between the lines. And it's deadly. It's deadly. The truck I have now has so many buttons. There's a radio to play with, heated seats, adjusting the mirrors, Bluetooth, cell phones that you can talk to, cell phones you can get text messages on, cell phones that you can get emails on. There's so much in technology today that can distract us while we're driving. What about our spiritual life? Can technology today distract us spiritually? It's been many years since I've heard a sermon from this pulpit on the evils of television. It's because it's obsolete. Our televisions are our cell phones now. We have it right in our hand. We have computers. We have cell phones. We have social media, Facebook, and all that kind of stuff. And it all can be good. I'm not saying it's altogether wrong. But you have to admit, it can be a great distraction. It can be a great distraction. It opens a whole nother world. The pornography. Of false teachers. If you're getting your doctrine from YouTube, beware. A whole different worldview, not to mention being a general time waster. Technology is a tool. It can be used by you to improve your life, to do your work. But all too often, technology instead is a distraction and a trap and can become deadly. Back in Luke chapter 12, these next verses should awake you from your slumber. And the Lord of that servant, the Lord of that foolish servant that's living a distracted life, will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and then at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Then this next verse ought to scare each one of us because it describes us. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, that's us, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. That's us. We know God's will. We're his servant. We know his will. We know what we're supposed to be doing. Verse 48. And he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. That says to the servant who knew his master's will and ignored it, shall suffer a greater punishment than the one who didn't know his master's will. That's us. It's scary, isn't it? Because each of us, if we admit it, there are times in life that we become distracted from doing our Father's business. There are times in life when we're not ready for his return. There are times in life we're not busy about his work. There are times in life we're not anxiously looking forward to his return, anticipating his return. There are times in life we are not watching. So how do we do it? How do you remain on constant alert? How do you stand guard duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year? How do you do it? It's a question I ask myself. How are you constantly ready, living every day, anxiously awaiting and living for your master's return? There's so many distractions in life. How do you do it? I think Brother Paul touched on that this morning. And it seems like we tell you that's the answer to everything, and it is. And the answer is to get closer to Jesus Christ. The answer is to learn about him. The answer is to see his beauty, see his love for you. Brother Paul's sermon was about that this morning. And I thought about it all afternoon. I think if I have this quote right, he said it at the end and I scratched it down. And I couldn't read my writing when I got home. But I think his last words to us was this: when Jesus is clear in our vision, When we see him as he is, when we gaze upon him in his beauty and how much he loves us, when we see Jesus clearly in our vision, Jesus will be clear in our service. We'll live for him. When we see Jesus, when Jesus is clear in our vision, Jesus will be clear in our service. Scripture says it this way in 1 Peter 4:7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Watch unto prayer. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time getting to know him. Read the Word of God. Read about how he suffered, how he died, how much he loved you. Read the Bible. Meditate on its truths and scripture. Learn about Jesus and spend time in prayer. That's the answer. That's how you stay alert. That's how you stay ready when you gaze upon your loving Lord and your Master. Your love of Jesus will grow sweeter each day. It will be a motivation to faithfully serve him. It will be a motivation to be ready, to have your loins girded. It will be a motivation to be busy about your Master's business. It will motivate you to anxiously await his return. It will motivate you to be watching. Maybe it will be today that your Lord comes. It will motivate you to be faithful. Faithful until he returns. In closing, I happen to think of the words of a hymn. We have that hymn in our hymn book, but the words aren't exactly the same. "Come ye sinners, poor and needy." This is how I learned it as a child. "Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and par." That part I think is the same as in our hymn book. But then the chorus says, "I will rise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms." You see, that's how you live faithfully, day in and day out, year in and year out, decade in and decade out, in the arms of your dear Savior. And in his arms there are 10,000 charms. That's your motivation to be ready for his return. May God bless you.
I think that I can say for sure that everything that Brian mentioned tonight, I have been guilty of more than once. On the road, especially, I was thinking about the times where I've done some things that were not so smart, and by the grace of God, did not have an accident. I do appreciate what Brian said this evening. Good reminder. Let's stand together, have prayer.